All right, we look through the window of baseball for Truitt and White, the professional builder's choice, and, of course, Marvin Windows with their new spot down in Monterey. And we bring in Bruce Jenkins of the Chronicle. Bruce, good morning.
Hey, Marty, how you doing?
Pretty good. I'm looking out the window here at KMBR, and, you know, it's raining and drizzling and all that. I just have this feeling that, you know, there's not going to be a game and risk injury to anybody.
Yeah, they shouldn't even think of playing in this weather. And like you say, I mean, the game doesn't mean anything. I think all the players are pretty much ready to call it a, you know, call it quits on spring training and play for real, maybe rest up a little bit. I mean, it would be would make no sense at all. I mean, Bruce Bochy ruled out Vogelsong, you know, last night just on the threat that it might rain.
Right.
So, yeah, no game today.
Yeah, I think we're safe. That's a safe prediction,
yeah.
I think, for sure. Hey, last night you were there. It was great to see you, of course, always at the ballpark. And you saw Lincecum get whacked on the knee from Derek Barton. A guy who usually takes seven pitches before he swings. This time he swung the first pitch.
Yeah,
but
well,
it's kind of scary.
Yeah, it was. I mean, Barton had said about a week ago that he's changed his approach up there. He's not going up there looking to, you know, take a couple and work the count, which is just the absolute wrong way to hit anyway. And he said he's being much more aggressive, and he jumped all over the first pitch. And, you know, the scary thing about it was the way the ball ricocheted, you know, off his knee and just came straight to Posey. I mean, it was like it hit a wall or something. It didn't seem like it had hit a relatively soft part of the inside of his knee, but that's where it did hit, apparently. And you know, Lincecum, they call him the freak. I mean, it was like Gumby. He just bounced right back to life. He wasn't even limping hardly after the game. I mean, the guy's a real physical marvel, and thank goodness, because that looked like it could be bad.
Yeah, he said this morning feels pretty much the same as last night. I don't know if that's good or bad, but
well, that's good. He felt pretty good last night.
All right.
That?
You know, I brought up in the first part of the show, you know, pitchers who have leg injuries and come back too early, you know, you get hurt, you know, and then it hurts your arm and all that. I hope they don't do that with him, but as you say, he's pretty flexible.
Yeah, I Bosa seemed to think, you know, without seeing how Lincecum felt today, but he said he'd be surprised if he had to miss that start because he wants it so badly. But, I mean, you're right. The legs are the foundation of a pitcher's strength, and you don't want to be compensating for a little bit of pain or discomfort, and next thing you know, all your mechanics get screwed up, and heaven help you, your arm. You damage your arm. I don't see any of that happening with Lincecum. I just don't. And I also think if he didn't feel like he could, you know, get the proper mechanics on the mound, you know, with the left knee, that he wouldn't go. I think he'd realize he's only hurting the team and maybe himself.
Yeah. You know, of course, Dizzy Dean, that happened to him. I brought it up earlier, you know, that he got hit on the toe. Earl Averill hit one off his toe in an All-Star game.
Right.
Dizzy said, oh, no, that's no problem, partner. Came back out. He was done. He was done.
Yeah. His arm very quickly went south, and he was never the same.
No, Hall of Fame career was gone. The other thing, and I say it almost seriously, you know, Arizona just kills Lincecum, and they have down there. Goldschmidt just, you know, throws the ball over the plate, and it's gone. They got Trumbo now. And I said, you know, if he didn't feel well, it wouldn't bother me to throw Petit into that start and have Lincecum pitch against L.A.
You know, in a way, they need to see Petit in a regular season game. I think, you know, Vogelsong seems a little bit vulnerable right now. I mean, we won't know until he pitches for real, but they kind of need to know exactly what they've got in reserve. We know it isn't much. You know, on the veteran level, it's going to be Petit. In terms of the minor leaguers, maybe Escobar. But it wouldn't be so bad to see Petit in a regular season game. He pitched some couple gems last year. He's up and down. His whole career has been that way. But that would be if Lincecum does go, just don't throw Goldschmidt a fastball, like, ever.
Well, I said it last year. I said, roll it into him. I said, you know, they say, roll it in. And, of course, the first pitch he throws in right over the plate, and the guy hit it like 9 miles. You know, really, I said, are you not listening? You know,
yeah, so. Yeah, exactly. Just throw him that devastating changeup, which,
really?
By the way, was great last night. Throw that just every time and see what happens.
Really, why not?
Yeah.
Why not? I mean, you got to find something that works.
I mean, it breaks down and in. It's almost an impossible pitch for either a right-hander or a left-hander to hit out. So, yeah, I mean, don't mess with that guy.
No, that'd be fun. Hey, there was baseball in Montreal last night, and it's one of those good stories. And I realize Montreal has a long minor league history. The Montreal Royals were there, and the Dodgers.
Yeah, Jackie Robinson played there.
Yes, for years. The International League was a very vibrant league. And then, of course, Olympic Stadium kind of took the wind out of everything, and Jarry Park Jarry, was in it was actually like in Golden Gate Park. I mean, they built a baseball stadium in the middle of a park, and they never really got it together, and then the strike, and who knows what was happening internationally. But baseball came back last night. Toronto played there against the Mets. They had close to 50,000,
wow.
And they're supposed to have that again today.
That's lovely. I mean, yeah, I never got a chance to go to the Parc Jarry, but I was in the Olympic Stadium many, many times, and it just killed any atmosphere that you would have wanted to have, especially in, you know, the French-Canadian part of the country. It's very charming. You can just imagine a really nice, intimate ballpark and with good turnout. And it is a good baseball town, as you said, and I'd love to see it resurrected is somehow obviously a long shot, but at least it's a start.
Yeah, well, baseball needs it. See, baseball, Leonard Coppett taught me this. I'm sure you heard him say it, Bruce, for years. Baseball always needs an escape hatch because mm-hmm. then they can blackmail a city into
yeah,
doing what
right.
they want. They don't have an escape hatch. That's why they're going to Sydney, Australia, and, you know, all over the world. They're looking for something to have leverage against cities.
I think they don't seem to have any faith in Portland or Las Vegas. And,
no, Charlotte.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the A's have been in that situation. Well, let's just send them to, well, where would we send them?
Yeah. So Montreal, as crazy as it sounds, you know, and it failed there before, but now baseball is such a big deal. I think that becomes like an escape hatch for him because Bud Selig said yesterday, and this is amazing to me, the revenues of baseball are going to go over $9 billion. This year.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and then I think of, you know, Lindskum or his contract or Sandoval's contract. Mike Trout got $244 million. Cabrera almost $300 million. The money is there. Money is there.
LeBron James is quoted as saying, man, I wish we didn't have a salary cap in the NBA. You know, I mean, Montreal, I mean, obviously I wouldn't want to see the A's go there, but I'd love to see Tampa Bay go there. I mean, they've been playing in a ridiculous stadium with paltry attendance and, I never got the whole Major League Baseball in Florida thing to begin with. It's been an ongoing disaster in both towns. It's a wonderful spring training place, but it's full of transients, people from somewhere else, and it's very hard to sustain a lot of fan support there. The weather is real dicey. They had to build this absurd dome stadium in Tampa Bay, so I'd love to see the Rays move to Montreal.
Yeah, well, my opinion is Montreal is going to be back on the radar. You're going to hear more about it.
You said it first once again.
Really? All right, Bruce Jenkins with us. I like to do predictions on our last spring training show. Did you do some in the Chronicle? I thought I saw your name on
a
couple
of
things.
No, I don't mind talking about it. I don't like to put them in print only because you find yourself, I mean, not that anybody remembers it for more than a couple hours. Maybe there's some guy in his basement waiting to just hammer me, you know, when they all turn out wrong. But I don't like to root for my predictions. I don't like to look at the game through that window, you know. Or I don't even really like to get into fantasy or home run pools or stuff like that because you're looking at the game the wrong way.
Yeah.
But I'd be glad to tell you what I think
will happen. Yeah, good. Let's do it. I'm going to give mine today, and then I'll let you do an outrageous prediction. We do this at these lunches we have in Arizona. We have broadcasters, writers, and, you know, Barry Bloom, all sorts of different people. And we go around the room and make a crazy prediction. And I'll tell you, Bruce, every year something happens.
Oh yeah, absolutely. There's something bizarre that maybe nobody forecast will happen. I don't think it'll be the Marlins, but maybe Jose Fernandez will win 30.
All right, so what do you got for basic baseball?
Well, in the American League, Tampa Bay was despite the grim setting. I love Joe Maddon. They kept David Price. They got Balfour closing. That's going to be an unbelievable race with the Red Sox. The Yankees, if Tanaka's for real, they'll be good. Baltimore signed a bunch of guys late if they get Machado back. But I like Tampa Bay there. I have to go with Detroit again in the Central. They were disappointed that Scherzer didn't accept a massive contract offer, and they lost Jose Iglesias, which is absolutely tragic from a baseball standpoint. Unbelievable shortstop. That's really a shame. But they're really, really talented. I think they'll win that division again. And you know what? I'm picking the Angels in the AL West. I mean, it seems to make so much sense to pick Oakland, and I like the stability much more. And you're relying on Pujols and Hamilton coming back. And, you know, can Garrett Richards pitch? Is Tyler Skaggs going to be any good? But the A's have question marks, too. You know, I'm going to go out on a limb and pick the Angels there, making a little bit of a comeback.
Okay.
So that would be the American League.
All right. What do you got for the National League?
Well, I'm going to go with Washington in the East. I mean, they're really loaded. I mean, what a gift for Matt Williams coming in to manage that team.
Really?
Rotation looks good. I mean, Bryce Harper looks like he's ready to have a nice comeback. They're very, very solid, and I think Atlanta, as good as they looked over the winter, I mean, with losing Medlin and Beachy to Tommy John surgery is just, you know, absurd. A lot of things have to go right there. I don't think enough to pass Washington. The Cardinals, as we always say, are always good. I always have trouble picking against the Cardinals. They're just, you know, this is a team that loses one of the greatest hitters in history, Pujols, and is perfectly happy about it because it worked out so well for him. I just like the way they do business. I think they outlast the Reds and the Pirates there. And I'm going to have to go with the Dodgers in the West. I think if the Giants had complete health start to finish, I think I'd pick them. But that just doesn't happen. They're vulnerable all around to injury. They don't have any real depth in the minor league system. The pitchers they've got down there are probably a year away. They don't have any position guys that have impressed anybody in terms of coming in and really making a difference. And, you know, they're just too many things can go wrong. We've already had Scooter Owen and a scare with Lincecum. So I think the Dodgers, as we talked in spring training, are certainly no lock. I think they've got some issues. But I think they have a little more depth. I think they just, if Matt Kemp's going to be playing the full season and D. Gordon can hold down second base you know, God knows with that bullpen and rotation, I just think they have a little too much.
Yeah, boy, interesting, isn't it? It's great. Isn't it great to do this? And because the whole journey is ahead of us. You know?
Well, yeah, it's there's nothing like the feeling around opening day. I hope the A's don't get rained out on their opener, but you know, it's a long season. But this is a great time of year. The end of spring training is really a great feeling because all of a sudden it's about to start and nobody has a clue what's going to happen. And it's the daily treat.
And as I say, that's baseball.
Yeah.
All right. Outrageous prediction. You got one?
Boy, I don't know. I've been trying to think off the top of my head here. Nothing's really coming to mind. I mean, it's so hard to pick. I think I don't know how outrageous it is, but I think this kid in Boston, Bogarts, the shortstop out of Aruba.
Okay.
Is going to be the Manny Machado of this year. He's a shortstop by trade, and he played third last year, but he's going to be probably their number one shortstop. A lot of pressure there to repeat the championship, and he's barely, you know, had a taste of the big leagues. But I think he's going to be the emerging star of the baseball this year, much as Manny Machado was in Baltimore.
All right, we'll make Bogarts the American League All-Star shortstop. How about that?
That'd be pretty outrageous.
Okay, that's
I mean, if Jeter's there, it's going to be ceremonial.
All right, and that's my next question. I'll let you go with this one. What do you think Jeter's year is going to be like?
I think it'll be classy. I think it'll be typical of the man, filled with, you know, thunderous applause and gifts and send offs and everything. I think I see him hitting about 270. He'll poke a couple line drives over that ridiculous right field fence in Yankee Stadium. He won't embarrass himself in the field, but I think it'll be clear that this is the last year for him and that he's not the Jeter of 96 or even 2006. And, you know, I hope it's nice. I hope he doesn't get hurt or anything untoward happens. Lord knows in New York it could. But I look for a very classy season-long farewell for the man.
Yeah, I look at it like Mantle went out. If the game doesn't matter and the bat doesn't matter, who's ever pitching – is going to groove one the Jeter in his last at bat, and he's going to hit it out. And
you know,
he'll hit it out.
Yeah, I think that'll happen because he's so well-regarded. I mean, he's absolutely the face of that franchise. He's kept that team together through unbelievable turmoil over the years, always rising above it, always the voice of perspective. And, you know, while the stat guys idiotically ridicule him for this and that, they miss the point that this guy's an absolute icon of the game and first ballot Hall of Famer, and he'll be missed.
Great, great, great stuff. They're going to bring Denny McClain back to throw that last pitch.
Yeah.
That's an outrageous prediction.
That is. Denny McClain out of retirement to groove a fastball to Jeter. I love it.
All right. Hey, Bruce, thanks so much. Enjoy your day. I imagine you got a good day today, huh?
Well, there's a lot of basketball. I won't be watching much baseball, I don't think.
All right.
But, tremendous basketball day. I've been trying to catch up on the tournament. You know, I'm watching tapes of it this morning from last night. But, great time all around.
Oh, good. Well, I look forward to next Saturday. As I tell the fans, by next Saturday, we're going to have five games under our belt already.
We'll know some things.
We will.
And we'll not know some things.
And that's why we enjoyed talking. Bruce, thanks so much.
You bet. Thank you.
All right. That is the wonderful Bruce Jenkins here on KMBR 680.